Good afternoon. When I first came into the church, before I'd even started attending services, I was struggling with some of those first battles of conversion. For one thing, I absolutely didn't want to be part of an organized church. I'd had enough of that already. But I'd learned enough of the Bible to know that God wants His people to come together. And still I was fighting it. But I remember the first good counseling session I had with a minister in the church, explaining this particular battle to him. And he said at one juncture very simply, "You have the wrong priorities." And with that one comment, all the weight was lifted off me. I knew exactly what he meant. More importantly, my conscience understood it. And everything changed after that. The way of God became clear. That was 35 years ago. And I've wondered about that concept many times, in all its applications. What if we in the church have had the wrong priorities all along? I know scripturally we have more understanding, which has to be given by God, than nearly anyone has ever had, but has it only been technical? Have we ever grasped the true spirit of the thing? Do we know what spirit we're of? When Jesus addressed the Pharisees, and do remember what audience he was dealing with there, when he talked with them, he told them, yes, they were right for doing the small things, but that they'd left the weightier matters undone. That's in Matthew 23, verse 23. Or in today's wording, he was saying, look, it's great you've kept these little things on the sidelines, but overall, you've completely missed the point. You've ignored the things that really count. The question is, are we any different? Jesus reiterated that truth to Martha the night when he said that Mary was tending to what really mattered while Martha was busying herself with all sorts of necessary stuff that in fact did not truly matter. Martha had missed the point, just like the Pharisees. And in reality, very much like the modern Church of God, has often missed the point. We've been very good at getting the facts right, very good with technicalities, good with doctrine. We've heard God. We've held fast to the truth of the Bible. But what about the spirit of the thing? Have we concentrated so much on the methods that we've totally missed the heart and soul of the very calling we've been given? Here's a physical analogy. What really matters? The posted speed limit or learning how to drive safely and responsibly? If you know how to drive safely, do you need a speed limit? Will you ever drive at 65 miles per hour through a residential neighborhood where children can be hiding behind cars or hedges and you really should be going 10 or 15 miles an hour? If you're a responsible driver, do you need a speed limit sign to tell you to slow down and be careful with the lives of others? I hope not. If you haven't learned that, I for one don't want to be on the road with you. Are our lives before God any different? The one way teaches us the ins and outs of laws and principles, all of which is necessary as a foundation, as a beginning point. But if it never gets beyond that, what have we really learned? What type of people have we become? Remember what Paul said in Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 13. When you should have matured enough to be teaching others, you instead need to start at the beginning and learn all over again. When you fetch up in the resurrection and meet your God in Jesus Christ, what do you think will be the top priority? If you're asked, okay, what did you learn? Picture the following interview between any of us and God. And let me give a disclaimer before I go through this little pretense. Don't take this too literally. This is just food for thought. Too many people through the years have put words into God's mouth, and I don't want to be doing that. So just as a pretense, imagine this interview. God asks, "So what did you learn in life?" "Well, I learned all about the Sabbath and the holy days." "That's fine," says God, "but what did you learn?" "Well, I learned how to serve in the church. I did set up and arrange potlucks and did the coffee bar." "Okay," says God, "but what did you learn?" "I learned what true doctrines are and how to tithe. I learned how to study and pray and fasted a lot. I taught my children to memorize scriptures and had a Bible study every Friday evening." "Okay, let me put it this way," says God. "Did you learn how to be merciful towards all people? Did you learn how to forgive, how to make peace, how to care?" "Well, I prayed about that a lot." "Right," says God. "So did you forgive that guy who fired you because you were keeping the Sabbath? Did you learn how to be tender and forgiving toward your husband or your wife? Did you learn how to respect and listen to your children? Or how to tell your parents the truth and believe they have your best interests at heart?" "Well, I've been working on that." "Going on," says God, "did you learn how to believe that I, your God, always have known what's best for you, so that you had no worries? Have you learned not to be so easily offended just because some people think or believe differently than you do? Have you been content to leave that to me?" "That's been a little hard." "Okay," says God, "have you learned how safe you are with me?" "Well, I've wondered sometimes." "Have you learned to believe in me and not rely on what people say about me?" "Yes, but we have to follow someone." "Yes," says God, "as they follow me." And so it might go. Paul encapsulated the entire affair in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'd encourage anyone to read that chapter in the Amplified Bible several times. The whole matter was summed up for all time in that chapter, because Paul didn't deny that faith and learning and understanding and so forth are all important parts of life. He merely emphasized that if we haven't learned real love, godly love, genuine, trusting, tender, heartfelt, devoted love toward God and man, then all the rest of that is meaningless. Without learning real love to some degree, you can't attain to all the rest. It remains out of reach. And we don't live in a culture that understands that. Our culture puts everything else first. Activity, indulgence, money, a false sense of self, of success, of shallow achievement, substituting form over substance. Nearly all of it at the expense of the very spirit we need in order to grow in love. We become a body with no soul, no heart. And that's even afflicted the organized church. After all, even though we're called out of the world, we bring a hefty amount of it in with us. God has better things in mind. Remember how Jesus said that at the end, when he returns, some will come to him and say, "Look at all we've done in your name." And the implication is that these will be many great things, good things, done in his name. You find it in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. And Jesus will say to them, "I don't know you. Go away." Now the punchline. Who was he talking to when he said that? His disciples. That warning was to us. Just like the one he also gave when he said, "Beware of false prophets among you." We didn't want to look at that one either. we're reminded repeatedly of the simplicity of Christ. The way of God is not hard and gets easier the more you understand him and his motives, in essence, his love. Isn't it easy to support and serve someone you love when you know how much they love you? Doesn't that conformity to the needs and love of another come easily when you know that love is present? In Micah 6, verse 8, God inspired words that sum up the Bible. He said simply, "What does the Eternal One require of you but that you do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God?" For us, that's the entirety of life in a sentence. Simplicity itself. It's not that we haven't understood this all along. It's simply that institutionally and even individually, we've perpetually put the cart before the horse. When you understand love, all law anywhere is satisfied. Because according to Romans 13, verse 10, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, any law. Because love, back to 1 Corinthians 13, is long-suffering, patient, and kind. It doesn't build itself up at the expense of others. It's not selfish, not easily provoked, rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes the best, hopes for the best, and it endures forever. That's what law and principles are all about. It's not the statements that matter in the end, but rather the spirit behind them, the intent, the purpose. Understand that, and you learn the phrase that I heard some years ago, if faith makes all things possible, love makes all things easy. That doesn't mean the trials of life don't get heavy at times. It simply means that once you understand the all-encompassing role of love, God's love, what it really means, and how it's meant and designed to change our lives, our minds, our hearts, you'll find that with love, we triumph over everything else. There is no other way. The more we put other things first, the more confused and chaotic everything becomes, even when we think we're clinging to the truth. Without God's priorities, understood and accepted and practiced as he sets them out, rather than how we want to remodel them, nothing works. What are your priorities? 35 years ago, I found that to be a question of great worth. And it still is.